This GX on Agriculture podcast is brought to you by Haas Nissan in Yorkton.
To the people tending the land and animals that feed us and support our community, we at Haas Nissan want to say thank you on behalf of all those who depend on you, the farmer. Like you, we're a family business with family values you can depend on. Haas Nissan, where a customer becomes family.
GX on Agriculture with Doug Falconer.
Good afternoon and welcome to GX on Agriculture. Coming up on today's program, the weekly Manitoba Crop Report is out, and farmers in our neighboring province are making pretty good progress so far this spring. We'll speak with Dane Fraze, Manitoba Agriculture's crop specialist. The Saskatchewan government has announced four new trade offices. Agriculture Minister David Merritt will join us on the show to tell us about those four new offices and where they're located. Recently, we had the opportunity to chat with the recently appointed director of the University of Saskatchewan's Livestock and Forage Center of Excellence near Clavette, southeast of Saskatoon. You will hear from Scott Wright on today's program. Efforts continue to attract major agribusinesses to the Saskatoon region. The Saskatoon Regional Economic Development Authority's president and CEO is coming up on today's program to talk about that. And we will also make today's announcement regarding GX94's Supper in the Field. All that and more coming up on today's edition of GX on Agriculture. But first, it's time for the Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather. And that's a presentation of Sean Prahitka, your REMAX Blue Chip Ag Division Specialist.
Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather.
With Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. Phil, we've started out with some sunny skies here, but we're seeing some cloud roll in now.
Yeah, and we've got this, trying to think of the right word, series of little disturbances. That's how we want to put it. None of these are major storm systems, but as each one comes through, it brings a little instability, kicks up a few clouds. Now, we've been dealing with this very dry air, and it's still quite dry through the day, so they're going to be challenged when showers try to form. They're going to try to form, though. There's just enough energy, enough instability starting to form aloft that we could see a couple of showers fall from these clouds. It'll take more than a light shower to hit the ground, so where the showers do pop, they could become locally heavy. More likely than not, we see moderate showers or nothing versus light showers through the afternoon, and most of us are going to be on that nothing side. Temperature in the low 20s, the wind is up today. That's the biggest difference, is that we've got gusts 35 to 40 kilometers per hour at times. That will continue through the afternoon, and the wind will really drop off sharply tonight. We'll fall from around 22 this afternoon down to around 6. The wind down to near 10 kilometers per hour that morning, nearly calm through the day tomorrow. Mostly sunny sky. Again, a few clouds will mix in tomorrow. Not really as much energy to work with tomorrow afternoon, so the chance of rain still pegged at 20%, same as today, but we'll say less confident 20%, if that makes sense. Partly sunny sky into Friday. The isolated shower threat goes up a little bit. This is actually the slightly larger storm system, a little more energy with it, a little more moisture with it. It'll kick up scattered showers across a larger area for Friday afternoon. We've got enough warmth. Temperatures are in the 20s pretty consistently now through the rest of this week, right into the weekend. So when these disturbances come through with a little moisture that's back in the atmosphere by later on, we do run that risk for some of those scattered showers and possible thunderstorms too. Late Friday, early Friday night's our best chance. The shower threat drops off Friday night. The weekend looks fine at this point. Partly sunny both Saturday and Sunday. Temperatures staying in the low 20s.
That's Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. Temperatures around the region this hour, the Paw and Shoal Lake Russell are at 20 degrees, Swan River 22, Dauphin 23, Brandon 21, Roblin 19. Regina and Broadview Mooseman reporting in at 17, Saskatoon 19, Hudson Bay 20, Indian Head, Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington 18. The Yorkton-Melville region has a partly sunny sky, a south-southwest wind at 13, gusting to 28 kilometers an hour. 15% is the relative humidity. The temperature is 21 degrees. Yesterday, Yorkton reached a high of 22 degrees and dropped to a low of 3 degrees. There was no precipitation recorded in the 24-hour period ending at midnight last night. The normal high for this date is 17 degrees. The normal low is 4 degrees. The sun rose in Yorkton at 5:03 this morning, and it will set at 8:29 tonight. Extreme temperatures for Manitoba and Saskatchewan yesterday. The Manitoba hotspot was Swan River at 23 degrees. The cold spot was a tie between Brandon and Grand Rapids, which both got down to minus 6. The Saskatchewan hotspot yesterday was Island Falls at 23 degrees. The cold spot was Coronach, which dropped down to minus 4 degrees. And that's a look at your agriculture weather. Please stay tuned. GX and Agriculture will return right after these messages. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. According to this week's Manitoba Crop Report, 44% of the province's spring crops have been seeded, slightly behind the four-year average of 51%. Manitoba Agriculture Crop Specialist Dane Fraze says farmers made really good progress over the past week.
We've had fairly dry, reasonably warm daytime conditions for the most part, and field access hasn't been a problem in much of the province, but you do still see one or two pictures on Twitter where farmers found the only wet hole on their entire farm. So obviously there are some wet spots, but they are few and far between. So seeding progress has progressed fairly rapidly. We're right on par with the last year and closely behind the four-year average. We've been a little bit slower than our four-year average, only due to the fact that it's been cool at night. We've had very cold overnight temperatures. We've had lows dipping down to minus 10 regularly, so frost every night. And that really prevents the soil from warming up as fast as we would like. So farmers are holding off seeding some of their little more sensitive crops, given that it's still a fairly early calendar date. They're not in any urgent rush to get that crop in the ground, and hoping for better conditions and some moisture to go along with it.
Did southwestern Manitoba remain dry over the past week?
There was next to no measurable or appreciable precipitation across the entire region. It was a little bit calmer in terms of wind conditions, but still cool, and farmers are progressing with seeding there. So it's in full swing, particularly with cereals. Field peas are nearly done, and some have started to emerge, while most are just swelling up at that water imbibition stage. Oats is a little bit further behind, only about 35% complete, and corn planting is shortly behind that.
Have winter cereals emerged yet?
Winter cereals are up. They are starting to tiller. Regrowth has been slow, just due to those cool overnight temperatures and frosts preventing a lot of rapid growth. So they've de-hardened, and we can't get too many more of these cold temperatures, or they will start to suffer. But so far, winter survivability of those cereals has been good. As long as they're able to access moisture, they are putting on growth, albeit slowly, so we do need heat and rain for pretty much everything, those included.
Any weeds or pests to be concerned about?
Flea beetles are emerging, and they are becoming a concern. There's only a couple canola fields emerged so far, but flea beetles will rapidly find those canola fields where they are up and begin feeding. So we caution farmers, if you're considering planting canola, aim for those optimal conditions. We want canola to pop out of ground quickly, so seeding it when soil temperatures are at least 8 to 10 degrees Celsius really helps it germinate and emerge faster. And obviously we would like to seed into moisture, but if no moisture is there within the top inch and a half, don't chase depth with canola, and seed it shallow into the dust and wait for rain to germinate that crop uniformly.
How are pastures coming along in southwestern Manitoba?
Not as good as we would like. Again, those cool and dry conditions are preventing a lot of new growth from being put on. So cattle are eagerly looking over the fence, wondering when they can get over to the pasture. But they're probably a little surprised why there's not a lot of green growth there right now. Pastures were damaged fairly extensively last fall with overgrazing, just due to the lack of rainfall we had in 2020, meaning that those pastures were depleted of nutrient reserves and grazed longer than they normally would be due to shortages of feed at that time. So they're taking longer to recover. They don't have that same carbohydrate reserve in the roots to really pump them up for new growth this year. It'll take time, and producers generally have enough feed left for cattle in corrals and on stockyards, but they will be running out shortly if cattle aren't turned out to pasture. So in some cases, the cattle are being turned already, but it's still generally less than about 20% of grazing land is being has cattle stocked on it right now.
As for northwestern Manitoba, seeding isn't as far along as in the southwest part of the province.
Pretty much the same story, but yes, a little bit further behind. It's been cooler there. Spring wheat is starting to emerge where it has been seeded in the Roblin to Dawson region. It's obviously emerging better where there is a little more moisture, where the snow banks were on the fields. But those cool overnight temperatures have really prevented a lot of more sensitive crops to go into the ground. So pre-seed applications of herbicides have continued, some burn-off of weeds that have begun actively growing, some of those tougher ones like stinkweed. But there seems to be good winter survival of winter cereals, clovers, and alfalfa.
Is that part of the province dry as well?
It is. A little bit more moisture, particularly around the paw, but it is still definitely on the drier side, but not quite as dry as the southwest and central region.
And pasture development is further behind in northwest Manitoba as well?
That's right. We haven't seen as many growing degree days as we would like. In parts of the northwest, they are less than 30% for the most part, and as you move further northeast towards Ethelbert and Fork River, there's less than 20% of normal growing degree day accumulation for this time in May. So it has been a very cool start, and as a result, that's keeping a lid on forage and pasture regrowth too.
Dane Fraze is a crop specialist with Manitoba Agriculture. It's now 12:29 in Saskatchewan, 1:29 in Manitoba, and it's time for the Beef and Forage Report. That's a presentation of McDougall Auctioneering.
Beef and Forage Report.
In a decision that may have come late for some, New Brunswick, Prince Edward Island, and parts of southeastern Quebec and northwestern Nova Scotia have been declared drought zones for eligible livestock producers' 2020 tax purposes. The federal government on Monday released its list and map of prescribed drought regions where tax deferral on sales of breeding livestock has been authorized for the 2020 tax year. In regions officially designated for drought, flood, or excess moisture, the tax deferral provision allows eligible producers who reduce their breeding herds by at least 15% to defer part of their 2020 income from sales until their next non-designated tax year. To defer income, a producer's breeding herd must have been reduced by at least 15%. If the herd was cut by at least 15% but less than 30%, then 30% of income from net sales can be deferred. Where a producer reduced a breeding herd by 30% or more, 90% of income from net sales can be deferred. In the 2021 tax year, or the next tax year in which the designation is lifted for a specific region, the income from those sales can be at least partially offset by the cost of reacquiring breeding animals, thus reducing the potential tax burden. And that's today's Beef and Forage Report. It's time now for the Ag Review portion of our program. That's a presentation of Peebles Machine and Welding in Yorkton.
GX94, Ag Review.
April monthly tractor and combine sales were positive across all segments in Canada, according to the Association of Equipment Manufacturers' latest numbers. April monthly sales in the four-wheel drive segment nearly doubled, up 93.3% to 201 units sold, while total farm tractor monthly sales were up 72.3% to 3,671 units sold. Self-propelled combines also grew 23.1%. To break it down further, two-wheel drive tractors under 40 horsepower grew by 80.1% year-to-date, followed by 40 to under 100 horsepower tractors, and 100-plus horsepower tractors growing by 39.7% and 38.7% respectively. Four-wheel drive tractor sales grew 73.1% year-to-date, while self-propelled combines also saw some growth at 20.1% year-to-date. The Crop Science Division of Bayer announced that Dallero Complete has been registered for use in eastern Canada on corn, soybeans, and cereals. The new foliar fungicide delivers effective and consistent control of major corn, soybean, and cereals diseases. Dalero Complete has three modes of action, groups 3, 11, and 7, that work in tandem for added protection. In corn, Dalero Complete provides excellent preventive defenses against yield-robbing diseases such as common rust, eye spot, northern corn leaf blight, and tar spot. In soybeans, Dalero Complete protects against all major soybean diseases, as well as providing enhanced suppression of white mold. Dalero Complete is available to Eastern Canadian farmers for the 2021 growing season. Tyson Foods is laying off a certain type of rooster from its U.S. chicken business after a surprising discovery that eggs fertilized by the male bird hatch less often, resulting in fewer chickens. The world's largest meat producer by sales will install a replacement across its breeding program by this fall to boost production. The U.S. is hungry for more chicken, and supplies are lean as fast food companies compete to sell chicken sandwiches and wings. Breeding companies provide hens and roosters to chicken producers, which then breed the birds and hatch their eggs to produce meat. Tyson owns one of the nation's major breeding companies, Cobb Vantress. The unexpected decline in hatching hit Tyson in January after it introduced the type of rooster that is now being fired. Reduced hatching, along with production disruptions related to severe winter weather and the COVID-19 pandemic, drove down Tyson's chicken sales 3.2% by volume in the quarter ended April 3rd, according to the company. Prices climbed 7.8%, pushing sales by value up 4.6% to $3.6 billion U.S. To meet customers' needs, Tyson during the quarter bought more chicken from outside companies than it normally does, mainly breasts. One customer, KFC, has a new chicken sandwich that is selling twice as much as a previous version, according to KFC owner Yum Brands. And that is the Ag Review portion of our program. Please stay tuned. We'll have more right after this. With Joel from Johnston's in Welwyn. And Joel, what's going on with the markets today? Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. I'm Doug Falconer. It's partly sunny and 21 degrees in the Yorkton-Melville region. I'll have your complete weather details coming up at the top of the hour. The Saskatchewan government has announced four new trade offices. The offices will be located in London, UK, Dubai, United Arab Emirates, Mexico City, Mexico, and Ho Chi Minh City, Vietnam. Agriculture Minister David Merritt says the trade offices will help farmers expand and diversify agriculture markets.
Well, obviously, it's very important for us to really expand our markets globally, and in doing that, you know, we're setting up these offices. So it gives us the opportunity to place people there that really will have Saskatchewan's interest at heart in talking to companies and to the industry stakeholders in those respective jurisdictions. The four offices we're opening will be in London, Dubai, Ho Chi Minh City, and Mexico City. So this just complements the three that we had announced last year in Singapore, Japan, and India as well. And we have one in China also. It really is to grow the ag sector and grow the ag business around the world. We're seeing, obviously, these markets are important to us to expand, to diversify our markets. And we see, obviously, a lot of potential and growth there. And it really just kind of lines up with where we want to get to by 2030 in our growth strategy.
How important are these four cities to Saskatchewan farmers?
Well, they're really important. And I mean, I've been to two of them. I've been to Dubai and I've been to Mexico City. And in talking to stakeholders and companies in both of those respective places, we see huge potential for growth. Mexico is great opportunity, obviously, for all the grain sector, but also for the livestock sector as well. We're seeing obviously increased market access there on the livestock side as well. But definitely seeing it in wheat, oats, barley, and canola as well. And Dubai, when I was there, one of the largest crush facilities in Dubai, met with the owner of that facility. And a very significant part of the crush capacity at his facility is canola, and it comes from Canada. So we see, and I mean, they're a great exporting country for that whole region, and we think it's important to build on that. And the same thing with London. London is the heart of the European continent, and getting, you know, and obviously one of the head cities in the world for financial investment as well. So we see opportunity in all that. And in Ho Chi Minh City, we see a huge population growth and a very young population, that their eating habits are changing, and we're seeing significant imports, you know, in the pulse side and also in the canola side. So we see this as a great opportunity to build on and to grow our trading volumes to those specific regions, but also globally, and not putting all our eggs in one or two baskets, but spreading them all out and giving the companies here in the province of Saskatchewan opportunity to grow their businesses as well.
So it's an effort to expand markets and diversify.
That's exactly it. But the one thing we really want is to have the people on the ground that really will have Saskatchewan's interests at heart and really be talking to the companies in the countries there to say, look, here's what Saskatchewan has to offer, not only from an agriculture perspective, from all perspective, manufacturing as well, mining, and opportunities are like that. Like, you look at, you know, our ag sector manufacturing, it's global, and this just gives those companies opportunity to expand as well.
On another topic, how's seeding going in Saskatchewan?
Well, I think it's moving along pretty good. Anything I've talked to a lot of people, you know, over the last few weeks, and everybody's been rolling. They're going hard at it. So I think, you know, the next crop report we get, which will be later this week, we're going to see a significant increase in the percentage of seeded acres.
That's David Merritt. He is the Minister of Agriculture for Saskatchewan. It's now 12:43 in Saskatchewan, 1:43 in Manitoba.
Livestock market conditions.
U.S. live cattle futures for June closed at 118.60 today. That's down 2. August live cattle closed at 122.32, up 27. August feeder cattle closed at 150.52, up 167. September feeder cattle closed at 152.05, up 157. June lean hogs closed at 112.02, that's up 85. July lean hogs closed at 111.92, up 50. And that's the livestock market conditions. Well, recently we had the opportunity to chat with the recently appointed director of the University of Saskatchewan's Livestock and Forage Center of Excellence near Clavette, southeast of Saskatoon. For Scott Wright, it's a return to home of sorts. He has worked for Ag Canada and the University of Saskatchewan in the beef and forage areas. Wright has both a master's degree in animal science and a PhD in plant breeding. The Livestock and Forage Center of Excellence concentrates on both specialties, plus the environmental file.
It spans all three of those, and it also spans sort of some of the more basic research, all the way through to ensuring that the work done can make a difference on Saskatchewan farms, on livestock and forage farms.
The Center of Excellence has quite a mix of involvement, doesn't it?
Tremendous variables, and that mix, that whole variation, really allows us to look systematically and at the whole system of production, ranging all the way from the soil underneath the hooves all the way through to the product that hits the plate.
How does your work get out to the average cow-calf producer?
The center was built on a number of foundations, one of those being Termunde, one of those being Gooddale. And the Old Western Forage Beef Group had a strong industry component and producer component as part of it. I see in the LFCE that producer advisory, that strategic look forward, that deep thought in terms of the priorities of the work done, I think there's still very good linkage relative to that. And then in terms of finally really moving that work out in a way that producers can make use of it, we've got a tremendous tech transfer group that are there at that interface. And again, the tremendous interest from the producers to be boots on the ground, being able to see that work for themselves, being able to understand what the data means, and point blank figure out how they can apply it in their own operations.
What kind of data has to come out of the Center of Excellence to help the industry when it comes to things like conservation and greenhouse gas emissions?
And I think if we start from the standpoint that there's a tremendous acreage of unimproved or improved pasture, if we can put it that way, land that can't easily be farmed, that needs a livestock conversion to really move that into agriculture and move that into the economy. I think the kind of data that we look to build and look to really understand is the role that livestock and grazing processes play in the overall environment, how we continue to use practices, and I'll use regenerative agriculture as one of those examples, as an opportunity to look at reducing carbon footprint, enhancing the carbon that's stored in our soils, enhancing the carbon that's kept within the system, and really bringing numbers and articulation to how that industry contributes to environmental well-being, as opposed to some of those that are looking the other direction.
What will be your priorities over your first 3 to 6 months at the Center of Excellence?
I think to start with, it's really thoroughly understanding the kind of world-class level of excellence that sits within those facilities, understanding where the research partners are interested in and where they see, you know, they've been in and active for the last couple, 3 years. I'm hearing some tremendous direction from some of those researchers in terms of the possibilities of doing work. From the academic perspective, the understanding from the deans of where they want to see their researchers go and their faculty members really participate. And from the producer's end of things, really, again, getting that inherent handle on where their priorities are at this point in time. To me, the final piece is just that recognition that there's a tremendous staff there that have huge capacity to contribute to research, to make it right, to make it applicable and get it done properly to ensure that the information that producers and industry get is the right information.
Scott Wright is the new director of the University of Saskatchewan's Livestock and Forage Center of Excellence near Clavette, southeast of Saskatoon. He will start the transition to his new position on May 19th on an interim basis before officially taking over on the 28th. It's now 12:48 in Saskatchewan, 1:48 in Manitoba, and your commodities update is coming up next.
To the people tending the land and animals that feed us and support our community, we at Haas Nissan want to say thank you on behalf of all those who depend on you. The farmer. Like you, we're a family business with family values you can depend on. Haas Nissan, where a customer becomes family.
Commodities update.
Canola futures closed mixed in the nearby months today. July canola closed at $902.30, down $30 per metric ton. November canola closed at $754.70, up $16.90. July Minneapolis wheat closed at $765.50, down 5 cents. July Kansas City wheat closed at $690.75, down 19¾ cents. July Chicago wheat closed at $729.75, down 12 cents. July corn closed at $714.75, down 7½ cents. July soybeans closed at $16.42.50, up 27¾ cents. July oats closed at $388.75, down 18¾ cents. And that's the commodities update. Efforts continue to attract major agribusinesses to the Saskatoon region. The Saskatoon Regional Economic Development Authority, known as SRDA, has released Phase 2 of the Project Ribbon Report. It identifies suitable locations within three neighboring rural municipalities that would meet needs like transportation links and utility costs. A number of centers in Western Canada have adopted the AgriPark concept to attract new business. Alex Fallon is SRDA's president and chief executive officer.
You know, there are several of these facilities across Western Canada, and we want to do our part to attract this type of investment and facility in the Saskatoon region. We know, of course, Saskatchewan has a lot of the raw commodities that are processed at these type of facilities, and so this project is about getting that type of facility right here, do the processing, and then ship it outside of Saskatchewan and actually all over the world.
What locations are you looking at?
We looked for sites across the Saskatoon region, and we're looking for things like land availability, the infrastructure already in place, obviously links to transport, whether it be road or rail, workforce, and also to be able to be serviced by different utilities. So we've identified three ideal locations, one north of Saskatoon, one in the southeast, and one in the southwest. All three sites have good potential.
And they're all outside Saskatoon city limits?
Yeah, that's right. We know because of the size of these facilities, the type of land base they need and the different infrastructure and utilities, that it's more than likely to be outside of the city of Saskatoon, but still within the region. So definitely looking at other RMs and other municipality areas. But City of Saskatoon has an important role to play as well in terms of the workforce and some of the infrastructure. So as long as it's somewhere in the Saskatoon region, then we will be happy with that.
Do you try to provide a cost analysis to prospective agribusinesses?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the businesses we've talked to, two of the most important things are, you know, the time scales to be able to develop these type of sites. And then, of course, you know, how much is that going to cost at an estimated level? Because, you know, it's all about the business case for them and looking at the cost of the inputs into these facilities, how much it costs to develop and service the site, and then, you know, the cost of transporting the commodities outside of Saskatchewan. So absolutely, this type of information really helps decision-making process of these companies, and the more information on the costs and timescales we can provide to them, hopefully the quicker they can decide that the Saskatoon region is a good place for their facility.
What types of companies are you trying to attract?
So it's a fairly large range. Agri Valley processing facility can mean a lot of different things, whether it's pea processing, adding value to other commodities, but also you know, it could be packaging, storage, distribution of ag products, and anything we can do to add the value here in Saskatchewan so that we're not just exporting the raw commodities, we're doing some of that processing here, creating jobs, and then exporting it to other markets.
Is Saskatoon behind other centers when it comes to a development like this?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that we are a bit behind other regions. You know, we've seen investments go into Manitoba and other places over the last probably 5 years. And so Project Ribbon really does help catch us up in terms of that investment readiness. So the next time one of these businesses is looking at Western Canada, we've got a strong case to show them everything from sites, cost, and timescales.
Phase three is business attraction and marketing. Are you there yet?
The SRITA team, working close with our colleagues in the government of Saskatchewan, we will be making sure that companies across Canada, the states, and internationally are aware of the opportunity in the Saskatoon region, and definitely promoting the region, the sites, and trying to attract that business. It usually starts with them coming to have a what we call a look-see visit, and if they're impressed and see this as a viable option, you know, they then progress to looking at a detailed business case, and then we'd hope to land one of them and have that facility.
Alex Fallon is the president and CEO of the Saskatoon Regional Economic Development Authority. The Project Ribbon report examines in great detail three locations in the Saskatoon area that could potentially be home to new major agribusiness ventures. It's coming up on 12:56 in Saskatchewan, 1:56 in Manitoba. Please stay tuned. GX and Agriculture will return right after these messages.
Always read and follow label directions.
Welcome back to GX and Agriculture. I'm Doug Faulkner. It's week two of the spring edition of GX94's Supper in the Field. We had 332 entries yesterday, and I called the person whose name was first out of the draw drum this morning.
Hello.
Oh, hello. Is this Steve?
Actually, I'm his wife.
Oh, okay.
He's working out in the field right now.
Oh, okay. Who am I speaking to, then?
Fran Horos.
Oh, hey, Fran. It's Doug Faulkner calling from GX94 Radio in Yorkton.
Oh, really?
You know why I'm calling you this morning?
Did we win supper in the field?
You won supper in the field.
Oh, awesome. That's great.
Would it be all right if we brought supper out for you guys tonight?
Sure. That'd be awesome.
That's Fran and Steve Hordos of Raymore. Our sponsors for GX94 Supper in the Field this spring are KFC Yorkton, Smith Steel in Yorkton, Yorkton Ag and Auto Supply, Razor's Pub and Razor's Cellar at the Yorkton Hotel, as well as Coors Light, and Pattison Liquid Systems. And please stay tuned. GX and Agriculture will return right after this. We're back on GX and Agriculture, and don't forget, GX and Agriculture is always available on podcast. Listen to past shows whenever you want. Find them easily by going to gx94radio.com. Also, you can hear the podcast on your Amazon Echo. Just enable the GX94 skill and choose GX and Agriculture. And yes, it is free. It's now 1 o'clock in Saskatchewan, 2 o'clock in Manitoba, and it's time to check the GX94 precision weather forecast for the Quill Lakes, Hudson Bay, Swan River, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, and Yorkton, Melville, Roblin, Russell regions today. A mix of sun and cloud with a 20% chance of isolated showers, winds south-southwest at 15 to 30, gusting higher at times, a high of 22 degrees. For tonight, clearing, winds west-southwest at 10 to 20, and a low of 6. For tomorrow, sunny with a few afternoon clouds, a light variable wind, and a high of 21 degrees. For Friday, partly sunny with a 30% chance of late-day isolated showers, a high of 23. Saturday, partly sunny, a high of 22. And Sunday, partly sunny, a high of 23. In the Paw and Shoal Lake Russell, it's 20 degrees. Swan River is at 22. Dauphin, 23. Brandon, 21. Roblin, 19. Regina and Broadview Mooseman reporting in at 17. Saskatoon, 19. Hudson Bay, 20. Indian Head, Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington, 18. The Yorkton Melville region has a partly sunny sky, a south-southwest wind at 13, gusting to 28 kilometers an hour. 15% is the relative humidity. The temperature is 21 degrees. That's your agriculture weather, and that'll do it for GX on Agriculture for today. Be sure to tune in again tomorrow at 12:15 Saskatchewan time for another edition of the program. It's time now for the news and sports headlines.
CJGX, a Harvard radio station serving Saskatchewan and Manitoba. We are GX94.